Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So as we just heard, early in the morning, three women approached the tomb of Jesus, wanting to anoint the body of their beloved friend and mentor. And they went knowing they wouldn't even be able probably to access the tomb. But in their grief, it must have been important for them to at least try. And when they arrived, they were surprised because the stone that was supposed to be blocking the entrance to the tomb had in fact already been moved. What was going on? What happened? The women then entered the tomb to find not the body of Jesus, but a young person with a message. Jesus has risen. Jesus was supposed to be dead, but his body was missing, and this stranger was telling the women that he wasn't dead at all. Can you imagine trying to wrap your head around that? The women had seen him crucified, murdered as an enemy of the state. And yet now they were faced with a new reality that doesn't make any sense. What does it mean that Jesus is risen? Today, to claim that Jesus rose from the grave might still seem fantastical to us. And yet it's foundational to Christianity. But to claim Jesus is risen, I don't think is really to be concerned with history. For me, to claim Jesus is risen is to declare that all of the violence and oppression that human powers can muster cannot stamp out the love of God. Nothing is as strong as love. And it's to declare also that even in the most dire circumstances, there is hope. There will always be a light in the darkness. And it's to declare that when we find ourselves in our own metaphorical tombs, whether that be addiction or despair or fear or whatever we might be trapped in, God can help us roll back the stone and be reborn into a new life. There's always the possibility of positive change. Even if we can't change our situation in life, we can always change our view, our attitude. But I'm sure those three women standing in an empty tomb, listening to a stranger tell them strange things, were not thinking of any of that. How could anyone in that situation be thinking much more than, what's going on here? And I think that's okay, because change starts when our expectations and assumptions are challenged. I heard it said this week that resurrection happens in the tomb, and that stuck with me. It's when we're at our lowest, when we don't know what to do or what's happening, that our hearts open to the possibility and to the desire for new life. The women who went to Jesus' tomb were grieving and confused by what they found. They had experienced Jesus' death. They expected death in a body. And now their expectations are challenged. Their hearts are being opened to something new. Their lives were going to change. Not only their lives, but the lives of all of the disciples and the lives of everyone that they shared this story with, anyone that is willing to open their heart to the possibilities of resurrection. Now, in the book of Acts, Peter tells the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And we're told that before he was even finished speaking, the hearts of those listening were opened and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter says that to Christ Jesus, all the prophets testify that everyone who believes has forgiveness of sins through his name of Jesus, through this name of Jesus. And it isn't Jesus' death on a cross that enables the forgiveness of sins, but I think it's putting our trust in, which is what believe means, to put our trust in. To put our trust in the totality of Jesus' story, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Putting our trust in the healing, transforming power of God's love. Putting our trust in the promise and possibility of new life. That trust makes everything else that is keeping us from communion with God fall away. Opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, that God that's already within us. loving us, wanting to guide us and care for us. And the people who heard Peter tell the story of Jesus became aware of the very presence of God within themselves. Telling stories is powerful. And the stories, whether historical or not, touch our hearts and have the ability to slip past the emotional barriers we put up. Stories can change people. And the women at the tomb were also asked to tell the story of what they experienced. The youth they encounter instructs them, see the place where Jesus' body was laid. Take the time to really experience what is happening right now. Jesus isn't here anymore. He has risen and is loose in the world. Death could not hold down the power of God's love incarnate. There is still work to be done. And then the youth tells them to go and tell the other disciples what they've experienced. Go and tell this story. Even if you don't entirely understand yet, your heart knows. The hearts of those who hear the story will know. Leave the tomb behind. Leave your fear and grief behind. This is the beginning of something new. Resurrection happens in the tomb, but then we're told to leave the tomb behind, to tell the story of Jesus, to tell our own stories, our own struggles and transformations and resurrections, to share not only with our own community, but with everyone. When we have good news, shouldn't we share it with anyone who wants to listen so they might experience it as well? Peter begins his story by saying that this is something he was in the process of learning, that God shows no partiality, that God's love is unconditional. It's for anyone who wants to do what is right in the world, anyone who desires love and justice. And it's not that God doesn't love those who care or those who don't care, but how can we know God's love if we're running in the opposite direction? And so we're invited to stop, to experience God's love and transformation, and then share that with the world. But there's more as well. The young messenger also tells the women that Jesus is not only risen, he's already out and about in the world, and that he'll meet the disciples in Galilee. Now, Galilee, of course, is where Jesus' ministry began. It's where the disciples first formed community and began to help and heal those who were in need. And the message to the disciples is, let's go back to where this started. Let's get back to the basics in a way. Let's get back to loving and helping those in need. Empire tried to stop our love and failed. And so let's get back to loving the people who need it the most. But will the disciples go to Galilee? Will they find the risen Jesus who has gone on ahead of them? And from Mark's gospel, we don't know the answers to those questions. According to Mark, the women are so scared that they don't share the story like they were asked to. They don't talk to the other disciples. And of course, the other gospels tell this story differently. But in Mark, we just don't know. The oldest versions of Mark's gospel actually end right here with that uncertainty. Later versions add on some additional text to bring a more comfortable resolution to the story. But I wonder if maybe the uncertainty isn't better, because the story isn't finished yet. It's up to us to figure out what comes next. Jesus has risen. Empire has failed to stop him, and he's gone ahead. He's waiting. What will the disciples do? What will we do? Because we too are invited to Galilee, which is wherever those in need exist and live. That is where ministry happens. That is where the risen Jesus will be found. That is where new life will be found. And it might be terrifying. It might confuse and bewilder us, even cause us to tremble. Will we run away scared? Will we stay in our tombs, or will we leave the tomb behind and share our experiences following Jesus into new life? Will we dare to meet the risen Jesus in Galilee to continue building the kingdom of God, declaring once more that love always wins in the end? Will we dare to proclaim to the world, Christ is risen? Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.